Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. As we always do, I'm going to play a song for you. I hope you like it. I'm going to give my co-host a chance to join us. We have a very exciting show today, and I hope that you will enjoy it. Here we go. All right. Thank you so much for the song. We appreciate the music. We have a lot of people in the chat room right now, and I'm going to get my co-host on the line because we have a very exciting show this evening, and we're expecting some real serious results. Brother Adonijah, are you there?
Shalom, shalom, this is Adonijah. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing? You sounding kind of slow. What's going on with you today?
I'm sleepy, but I'll make it through the show today.
Oh,
you know how old,
you
know how old folks get. Middle of the day is time.
Oh, it's only, what, 3:30 in the afternoon? Come on now. We got to do better than that. Okay, listen. We have a special guest that we've invited on the show, and we're waiting for him to come on. And in the meantime, while he is getting his things together to be on the show, is there anything that you would like to talk about?
No. Did you get that video that I sent you? It was regarding about that young lady that killed herself. It's called dark skin women or something like that. And it's a very good video. You understand? It depicts all of those dark skin women that suffer from low self-esteem and high insecurity. And it's really something that you might want to take a look at. You understand?
Okay.
And they even, at the end of it, they render some solutions to the problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, not a problem. I will definitely take a look at it. I'm waiting on our one of our guests to come on the show. If anyone has a topic or anything that you would like to talk about today while we're waiting, please feel free to push 1. If you're in the chat room and you have a question, please type it in, and we will definitely get it on board for you all to be able to listen to the show. We thank everyone for being consistent listeners to our show, and we're going to deal with a serious topic today because I want to apologize to some people out there today because we have been guilty of not doing our homework, and that's something that I do not believe in. I believe that, you know, when you promote something or someone, a particular person, that it is important for us to do our homework. And as a result of that, we have promoted a particular individual that we feel required some background information. And the reason why I say that is because someone sent me a blog talk clip of this particular individual, and I was very disturbed when I heard the things that came out of his mouth. Now, I want to make an announcement. The Yehuda Project is affiliated with the Nation of Yehuda. We are the original Hebrew Israelites of the Scripture, and we offer a school, and it's called the School of Knowledge. It is free. Let me say that again. It is free to individuals who would like to register. If you are interested in registering with us, please email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, and we will send you the information necessary for you to be a part of our school. We meet once a week for an hour and a half, and we go through the history of our people, which is located in the best history book that is known to man, and that is the biblical book that we call the Bible. So the reason why I say that is because understanding the Scriptures in terms from a historical standpoint gives you a clear understanding when you run into people who try through their education, through their degrees, to cover up who and what they really worship. So we wanted to deal with that topic, and right now we're waiting on a gentleman to come on the line because he asked me if he could be a part of our show today, and I told him it would be okay. So we're waiting on him to come online. But in the meantime, I wanted to make sure that I gave some information to this individual. And like I said, we're waiting on our guest to be on the line. But Brother Donia, someone sent me a clip of Dr. Umar Johnson. And I wanted to play this clip for you because I know that we have been in constant contact with Dr. Johnson. I mean, wanting to get Dr. Johnson on the line. And because he is starting a school, he is with the Pan-African Movement, and I was very, very disappointed in what I heard. And I wanted to play this for you so that you would know where and who and what this thing is really all about. And they were saying how the conversation got out of control and how there was a lot of people that were angry because they allowed the conversation to get out of control. But, you know, I had to agree with the brothers from the organization that allowed him to be on their show. They were very much in the right, the way they handled it, how they handled it, because one thing about it is when you expose wickedness, it always it pops up this ugly head and it gets ugly. So I just wanted to know, I wanted to play a little bit of this while we have our, give our guest a chance to come on. Oh, he's already online. Let me get him on here. We'll take care of that a little bit later. I'm going to open up the mics right now. Brother Shemaiah Moshe Ben Israel, right?
Yes, praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. Go ahead, Brother Madonia. This is Brother Shemaiah Ben Israel, Moshe Ben Israel.
Shalom, Brother Elder Adonia. How you doing, beloved?
I'm told shalom, shalom to you.
Shalom. Sister, just, I don't know what part of the show I missed or where I'm at, or am I to get started or what?
No, you go ahead and get started because we were just waiting on you to come on the line. So please feel free to take over, and we want to give, this brother is located out of Chicago, Illinois, and he has his own television show, and he has his own Torah Center, and he is coming on today to talk about the things that are happening in his city, in Chicago, and some of the things that are happening among our own nation with our own people. So please feel free to go ahead.
All right, thank you. Shalom, shalom to all of those that is listening from around the world and abroad. My name is Shemaiah Moshe Ben Israel. I'm a Malak of Yah, and Malak simply means messenger. I'm also the head teacher of the Remnant of Yah Torah Center here located in the city of Chicago, and I have a television program that airs here in the city of Chicago and on the Internet. Hopefully I'll get a chance to give you all the information regarding those shows for those that would like to enjoy some of the program, television broadcast. I don't know if she, Sister Yaina, notified you all of the purpose of me desiring to do this, but I'll get started, if you will. For those around the world, and especially here in America, I'm sure they are aware that the city of Chicago is the murder capital in Chicago. We have at least maybe four or five murders on the average of African, so-called African-American men, but from the ages of 14 to 25, getting gunned down by military-style assault rifles. And just last night, four more people got shot and killed, and amongst the four was a 14-year-old young man. And these are assault rifles being used on the streets of Chicago. And one must ask themselves, what's going on here? Why are, for the world's sake, if you will, I'll use the terminology African-American, if you will, why are young African-American men, especially here in the city of Chicago, now known as Chi-Rac, that the murder rate is skyrocketing? It's going through the roof. These young men are dying, and they have normalized it. To see a person shot and killed in the street now is like seeing an ice cream truck when you were a child driving down your block. You've seen that before. You just got excited because you saw it, but you're very familiar with it now. Well, that's what's going on in the city of Chicago. But the purpose of this whole thing is that, and also, before I get to that, some of these scriptures I want to read. 54 public schools in the city of Chicago that's located in the inner cities are all shut down. They're shutting our schools down. We have a few. We have about four schools in Gary, Indiana, that are being shut. They're fighting to keep them open, but they'll be shut down as well. And these schools are schools that house our youth, if you will. Everybody's complaining Everybody's crying. Every time you watch the news here in the city of Chicago, they put the microphone up to the typical African-American and they're crying. We need to stop this. Lord Jesus, our babies are dying in the streets. Oh, Jesus, God got to make a change. And then you see all the preachers come out with their T-shirts on, that's saying Jesus is going to save us. We've been hearing that forever, all over the world, for African-Americans, if you will. But we know, those that have knowledge, that we're the children of Israel. But for the sake of this conversation, for the sake of this conference call, if you will, I'll say African-Americans again, for those that maybe not be familiar with the children of Israel, but I'm going to get to that. But they go in these corners, candlelight visuals. I wish I had the time with my camcorder to record this for you all around the world and see on the internet all the preachers, the main player preachers in this city with the huge congregations. They all come out to the site where the person was gunned down, the young boy, if you will, was gunned down. And they pray and wear their T-shirts, Jesus is going to save this, stop the violence, Christ. And they can't even get off the block good before another one gets shot. Just last week, a four-year-old girl, I think she was three or four, she got ran over by a city transportation bus. The bus crushed her face in the middle of the street and on the south side of the city of Chicago, and everyone's seen it. The little baby just ran off in the street, if you will, from her parents. How did that happen? No one knows. Reckless, if you will, you ask me. But right in the process of the fire department and the police going up to the body to basically scrape the little girl remains up, this was aired live on the news. The fire department, the police, everything's around the scene where the little girl was basically crushed by the bus. Gunshots rang out. Now, the news, the police, the firemen, everybody ducking. Right in the middle of them investigating this little girl being crushed by a bus, gunshots rang out. Are the police stopping this? Of course not. Are the politicians stopping this? Of course not. Are the reverends and pastors and bishops and so-called fathers and when I say fathers, you have the Catholic priest, if you will. They all come out, holding hands with the mayor, the chief of police is out there. They're all out there. I mean, it's a whole day. And last, a couple of weeks ago, they had a barbecue. They had a barbecue with Stop the Violent T-shirts on, put the guns down, crying out to the youth. As soon as the little barbecue was over, another six got shot the next day, if you will. They're not listening to this. No one's listening to Jesus. Jesus has failed us. God has lied to us, and the Lord don't exist. We've been crying out to these so-called figures forever. Nothing's changed. Absolutely nothing's changed. These young men are getting shot and killed in front of churches now, in front of places of worship, in front of schools. There used to be a time when you see a person with a baby, hey, don't shoot that guy, he's with an infant. Now they will blow your head off holding a baby, holding an infant, holding a toddler. What's happened? What's going on? And everybody's screaming the same thing. We need to change. We got to do this. We got to do that. Something's got to give. Blah, 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 blah. That's what it sounds like to me. A whole bunch of gibberish. But I'm going to reveal, praise the Almighty Yah, bear witness that Yah and only Yah is the greatest. I'm going to read some scriptures, and I'm going to cry out to all the men of Yah. I don't want no men around me that's saying Jesus nothing. We've tried that. That train has came and gone. The evidence is here. The jury has made the decision. Jesus is guilty. He's guilty of lying to us. The Lord has failed us, and all of us been crying out to God. But there's many gods. We are afraid to say Yah. The people in the street don't know Yah. They don't know who Yah is. They have no idea who Yah is, but everybody know who Jesus is. Everybody know. And we've been crying out to him forever. Martin Luther King crying out to Jesus to the day he died. All of our so-called political figures that's in politics cry out to Jesus or God. It hasn't changed. Our president got elected and everybody cried in the streets and partied all night. Nothing's changed. We have more African-American men in prison than ever. We have more African-American women that's infected with HIV and AIDS than ever. Women with HIV women that are HIV infected with AIDS in America are 48% in the inner cities between the ages of 17 and 36. Chances are they're HIV infected. They did a blood drive here in the city of Chicago throughout all the public high schools where African Americans dwell, and they had to return all the blood because half of the high school students were HIV infected that wanted to donate blood. One of the nurses that's involved in the medical field here that did a lot of the drawing of the blood notified me of all of these statistics. And she said, Moshe, what is going on? What is going on? And she was a Filipino, so I knew she wouldn't understand if I attempted to explain it to her. Our people are being destroyed. Our people are under attack. No one cares. Yes. No one loves us. Yes. And everybody's ignoring us. Liquor stores in the inner city are continuing to make us more and more drunk off alcohol they wouldn't dare sell in a white community. They're selling our people food. The food products on these in the inner cities, these inner city stores, are garbage, pure garbage. They're feeding our children things that they wouldn't dare give their children. There's a store in the community around where I live, if you will, the area where I live, if you will. Of course, it's an Arab store. Most inner city stores are ran by Arab. They wouldn't even touch a pork chop. But they'll sell it to you. They'll even sell it to you with gloves on their hand, as if it stinks. But they'll sell it to you, and you'll eat it. They'll sell you catfish, shrimp, lobster, crab, and oyster, everything and anything that's killing you. And we have not bear witness that this is happening. All these corner stores, they'll sell our young children juices, punch, pop, lemonade, and Kool-Aid. They wouldn't dare offer them a bottle of water. But why? Why is this happening to us? Who's crying out for us? Al Sharpton said he was going to come to the city of Chicago and stay a couple of days because he wanted to get to the bottom of the violence. He's done absolutely anything. Muslims on the corner everywhere, selling bean pies, wearing bow ties. Nothing's changed. Giving us final calls with bad news. Nothing's changed. Calling out to a God that didn't know our forefathers. Nothing's changed. Even with the Muslims, giving us a book that has nothing to do with the plight of the African-American man and woman that's in the aisles of these shores of America. Nothing. We're suffering. Our children are dying. The foster care system is full of black children. Full of them. They treat them like filth, garbage animals, and by the time they get 18 and release them, they're in the street and they'll be dead before they're 21 because they have no skills to survive on their own. Crack has flooded our neighborhoods as if it's free water. Almost everybody's a dope head. Everybody. And who's selling this to us? You see a black face. You see these AK-47s in these young African-American men's hands. They don't make them. Where they getting them from? They never get caught. Why? They don't go shoot nobody in other neighborhoods. They're killing up each other in their own. They're not even sensitized to their own people anymore. They can care less if one of them bullet shells went through an old lady, and it has. Here in Chicago, a young lady, an elderly woman, just got her brain shot out, sitting down at her office desk at work last week, and some guy was shooting at another guy, and one of the bullets went through the building where she worked, through her cubicle, if you will, and shot her in the head and killed her. A beautiful young lady. All she wanted to do was work and provide for her family, and her life is taken away from some young brother trying to kill another. He missed the brother he trying to shoot and killed a beautiful lady. But who's crying out for us? Aren't you sick of hearing these preachers and pastors telling us Jesus is going to stop this? Aren't you angry? Aren't you mad by now hearing the same exact thing over and over and over and over again? You've tried everything, but we've never tried the mighty Yah. We've never tried them. We all talk. All of us give one heck of a script. All of us can tell one heck of a story. But who really tried Yah? All of us look at Yah as if he's our father, and he is. We're the children of Israel, when I get off into that, and he's our father. But no one views the mighty Yah as he's our husband. The mighty Yah has married the children of Israel. That's our husband, and we are his wife. And he told us all through the Tanakh what a great disappointment he is with his wife. But how could this change? When will it change? And who is our help? For those that's listening, I'm sure you all probably don't have your Bibles, but I'll read it anyway for those that decide. I got about five scriptures I want to read before I get to one more significant point. Then I wouldn't mind taking your questions and comments, and for those that want to contact me. But first of all, let's go to hold on for a second, please. Hold on. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm back. Psalms the 27th chapter. Psalms the 27th chapter, and I'll read it. Psalms 27 in verse 14, and it reads, "Wait on Yah. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on Yah." Wait on Yah. Now, some of you all may say, for what? We've been waiting forever. But you haven't waited on the one that is your help. Yah is our help. We've never called him as a people, not one or two people, but as a people. We've never cried out to Yah. Will it ever happen in our lifetime? I pray to the mighty Yah that it do. But the majority of us is crying out to Jesus, Lord God and Allah. That's a fact. We're outnumbered for those that trust and believe in Yah. Well, let's go to the book of Ezekiel for those that say, Moshe, we heard that. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, the second chapter. Ezekiel, the second chapter, and I just want to read one verse here. Ezekiel 2 and verse 7. "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they forbear, for they are most rebellious." See, black folks don't want to hear. They don't. They don't want to hear because they have been trained that Jesus is their help. Every song on the radio, Jesus, 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 Jesus. He hasn't changed or stopped nothing. Every funeral, the minister's crying out over the dead body, Jesus this and Jesus that. But it's another young black man that had gotten his brains blew out his head. Now, the simple answer, the simple response would be, well, they're bad children. They're evil. They're wicked. They didn't know any better. Well, they was raised basically as savages. They had no mother or father. I grew up without a father. The streets basically raised me. By the mercy of Yah, I turned out the way that I am. Although I've been incarcerated, I've been down that road. I haven't always read the Torah. I was reading porn magazines. I stayed in strip clubs and harlot houses. But the mercy of Yah saved my life. So I don't want to just throw all of these young men in the trash and say they're all filth, get them away from me. No. What we must do as a people is reach out to them. And we can't be cowards. We can't be cowards. We have enough brothers in so-called churches and Knessas and Bible classes preaching the word. But these thugs and hoodlums, they're not in those places. They're on the street corners. We have to go to them. The false prophets do. They put on their t-shirts and march and say, let's go talk to the brothers on the street. But they've heard Jesus. They're not trying to hear that no more. They're not. They're shooting at churches, in churches, shooting up funerals. They don't care about that. They don't fear Jesus. They've heard God. They're tired. I was talking to a young man a couple of days ago. And he said one of the last things he wanted to hear is some guy coming to him telling him God said anything. And I told him, well, that's the problem that you have, son, because I'm not telling you God did nothing. Everything you hear me mention to you, I'm going to call the mighty Yah, brother. I glorify his name. I don't serve God. I don't worship God. I worship the mighty Yah. He didn't even know what that was. What is that? That's the plight of our people. They have no idea who Yah is. But then let's go take a look at this scripture here that makes a lot of sense to this whole plight. Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. And before I get to that scripture, I want to say this, too. I also met a young lady a couple of days ago in the building where I work at. I caught her performing a sex act on some young man in the hallway. I busted it up, and then I grabbed her and let her have it verbally. And I said, young lady, you need help. She was 27 years old. I said, young lady, you need help. She started crying at me and said, I don't want it. I don't want help. She said, all I want to do at this period in my life is die. She was crying to me not to call police or anybody. She didn't want help. She said the only thing she wanted to do is run out in front of the street and get crushed by a car. I want to die. I can't stop. I'm a drug addict, Moshe. I can't stop. 27 years old, a daughter of Zion, young black woman. And all the men in the neighborhood and the community just continue to take advantage of her. All these young women in the hood, in the inner cities of America, get up with these young brothers and they destroy them. By the time they do have their mind made up that they want to do something right, they're HIV infected. I did a job. I'm a carpenter by trade. I did a job at this place in Chicago that's called the Coach House. I don't know if the place still exists, but they house African-American women that's infected with HIV. Most of them young women in that center, all their stories were the exact same. How did you contract the disease, young lady, my boyfriend? How did you contract the disease, young lady? You don't look like you're a drug fiend. She said, I never did drugs in my life, but the young man that I was with, he the one gave it to me. Time and time and time again, we hear these stories. These African-American men go to jail and they turn to homosexuality. When they get out, these young women will never know it, because what happens in jail stays in jail. we are being totally, totally destroyed.
Yeah.
Totally destroyed. And the quickest way to destroy the people.
I have a question for you, Moshe. Why do you think that it is so difficult for our people to realize that the things that we have been served and the things that we have been doing is not working? I mean, it's not working. It's not. I don't understand how long it would take for people to realize this stuff is not working. I mean, I have family members that's in the church. They've been there for 20-some years. We got churches on every corner. And on the same corner, them boys are standing there selling heroin. They're selling cocaine. They're selling it in front of the church. They're selling it to the pastor. You got pastors that's homosexual. You got pastors in the church that's whoremongering. I mean, it's all kind of stuff going on. But we continue to do the same thing over and over again, and it's just not working.
Well, there's a scripture that says, they worship me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. See, that's why I don't fall victim to people telling me shalom, shalom, shabbat, shalom, and all that folly. I don't fall victim to that because I look at how a person's actions. I pay close attention to a person's actions. A young lady told me a few days ago, an elder said, Moshe, you worried about them people. You worried about them people over there. Well, make sure you got your house in order. And I told him, he's an elder. I said, that's the difference between me and you. I know my job. I'm a Malach of Yah. I'm a messenger. I'm commanded to spread the good news of Yah. The commandments say, love thy neighbor as thyself. But who is your neighbor? When he gave the commandments, he was talking to the children of Israel. That's your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I lock my doors at night, I'm hoping that all the people that live in the apartment building that I live, that their doors is locked and they're safe as well. Because those are my neighbors. I'm not going to treat my neighbors no different than I would treat my family. Because they're my neighbors. But go ahead, sister.
And if we don't do something, I mean, who is supposed to change it? If we have the attitude that as long as we take care of our house, then everybody else got to take care of their house, then who's going to change the situation at all? I mean, because the thing about it is it's getting worse. And the thing that I look at the most with the whole situation with church and all of that is, you know, everybody, like you and I were talking one day, everybody wants an out. Everybody's going through. People are unemployed. They don't have jobs. People are homeless. They don't have homes. People are destitute because they're looking for an out. And then they go to church and the pastor is selling heaven. And remember, we said that they selling heaven like they selling crack cocaine. And people are buying the concept that we just want out of here. And if you do what I tell you to do, then you're going to make it. And he's going to catch you up and you're going to get up out of here and everybody else going to be safe. They're going to be stuck down here to go through the trauma. And the thing about it is that if you look at it, if you really, and I want to say that to my listening audience out there, please, if you're Christians, we don't mean to be offensive in any way, because we understand that the wool has been pulled over your eyes, that blindness in part has come unto Israel. And the scripture says that, and the person who has blinded us is the Most High Yah. But we got to take a look at the whole thing, because if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I was talking to someone about healing not too long ago, and she made so much sense. And I said, you know, I see people get sick, and then I see the church rally around this, the Lord's going to heal them, the Lord's going to heal them, the Lord's going to heal them. And then when they go through whatever they go through, the healing, what they profess to be healing, is really science fixing them. And it's like, okay, were you healed or were you fixed? And you got to be able to take a real good look at it and weigh it up against Scripture and say, is this really what's happening? Because it's not working. It is not working. And there's got to be something that we're missing. What do you think that is?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Well, again, there's an area that I'm holding back from going to, because we do have a I'm sure you have a broad Christian audience, and like you said, you don't want to offend them, and that's, believe me, I don't want to do that, but I can't make it no plainer that Jesus has failed us. He's failed us. And you said it right. The preachers have figured out a hustle. The dope boy selling crack and the preacher selling heaven. He's hustling.
Oh, yeah.
And it's working.
Yes, he is. Yes, it is.
Right now, the churches are double, cars are double parked everywhere right now. And he's selling them hope and heaven.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But nothing's changed. People are tired.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. When you get finished, I would like to say something.
Go ahead, Brother Adonia.
Okay. First of all, I want to commend you for coming on this program and saying what you had to say. You understand? I say this every week. I'm in agreement with what you're saying. Now, today, I'm into solution. You understand? We can talk about this stuff. We know the problem. We need to be finding a solution for this stuff. You understand? Now, the solution that I have mentioned on this program early on is that we need to go, what we need to do, a house is not built unless it's established, a house cannot be established unless it's established by Yah. All the other people have tried, they put together, they program, all of them other nations, those, what do you call it, activists, and Muslims had a got a program or got their thing, you understand, but it cannot be established unless it's established in the name of Yah. We have to, well, we that are Hebrew Israelites can't just go and tell them brothers, yeah, man, it's all about Yah, da-da-da-da-da-da, and this is the program, this verse means this, that verse means that. We got to have some place for them people, for them little young brothers. We got to show it by example what to do and how to do it, and that Yah will bless our hand when we do it. You understand? If we sit up there and run our mouths, that's all we're doing is running our mouths. You understand? We got to, when if we go to the penitentiary and we talk to them brothers and say this and that and the other, and Yah's with us and da 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 da, we got to show them that Yah's with us by setting up a program so that when they come out of them program, out of that penitentiary, you understand what I'm saying? They go right into the program, and the program will show them how to feed they self for the rest of their life. You understand? How to take a hammer and nail and build a house. You understand? We got to have these programs in place. If we don't have these programs in place, we just beating up our gums. You understand? We just going over and over with the same thing that has been said. We know the problem, and we're not doing nothing about it. We as Hebrew Israelites, you understand, that know they self, that have the will and heart, got to step up to the plate. That's what's been lacking. You understand? Well, I've been involved in this program. I've been involved in Israel for 35 plus years. The reason why our children are like they are today is because we abandoned them. You understand? In those 35 years, you understand, I've seen all of the brothers that I used to mess with, used to be involved with, go by the wayside for one way, for one reason or another. I'm in my early 70s. Them guys passed away early. You understand? Because of their atrocities. You understand? We abandoned them. We cannot go along continuously doing that. We got to step up to the plate. We got to start putting things in order. Well, Yaina and I took up I align myself with the United, the nation of Yehuda. You understand? Because they seem to want to be able to do something about this problem. You understand what I'm saying? The Almighty said in Zephaniah, you understand, He was going to turn our captivity right before our eyes. And he's done that. He's doing that as we speak. We are responsible for our own teachers at this particular point. You understand? We got to step up, you understand, and try to put something in place for them young brothers and sisters. We got to show that the Almighty is with us. You understand? And that's what's been lacking. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Also, let me make an announcement real quick, Brother Moshe, before we continue. We have a lot of people on the line. We appreciate everyone's continued commitment to the Yehuda Project. We have a brother, Moray or Malak from Chicago, Illinois, and he is talking about this consistent problem that they're having in Chicago. But this problem is not just in Chicago. It is worldwide. And I think that the reason why our people are so confused and our young people are so dismayed is because, one, they really don't understand the things that are coming up on us. They're out there hustling, trying to get money to eat with. They bought into consumerism. They feel like that they can only be accepted if they have a nice car or if they wear the right kind of clothes, or if they have the right kind of jewelry. The things that are promoted to them through the media, through the record industry, through the movie industry, and all of the things that the fake Jews use to keep you a noose around your neck to make you feel like that you're less than because you don't have these things. And they will go out and rob, kill, and steal to be able to have the things that they think that makes them somebody. And I think that the problem is that we need to tell them who they are, because if you know who you are and what's going to befall you, then you will have a better understanding. Because I want to get to Brother Umar Johnson while Moshe is on the line, because it plays right into what you're talking about, and we'll get to that eventually. But we got to understand there's a lot of activists out here under the guise of helping our black people. Our black people need to come together because we're suffering, and they promote the struggle. We already know what the struggle is all about. We're in captivity, point blank and simple. We are in the land of our captors. We were brought here because of our disobedience. So it stands to reason that the things that we experience as a nation, as a people, is conducive to the fact that we're not in our own land. And the biggest thing that we can promote to me is, like you said, Yah, they don't even know who Yah is. Because the church calls him God. And every time I challenge a pastor and I say, well, what is his name? Because God is a title. You can be talking about anybody. Nobody can say who God is. And these people don't know anything about this. So we have a lot of stuff in front of us that we have to address and we have to tackle, because our children are killing each other. They're killing themselves in the street. They're killing us because they don't have any hope. There's nothing to live for. And, you know, and like if you go up to some of these young thugs that's making $5,000, $6,000 a day and tell them, Yah saves, he's going to say, save me from what? I got everything I need. So what are we going to bring to make a difference? Like Brother Donnie, I said, sometimes you just have to come to the realization that everybody's not going to make it. And only Yah opens up their eyes to the point where they say, I need to stop this and change the way I'm living and make a change in my life. He is the only one that can do that, because everybody's not going to make it. Some people are just going to perish. And it's sad to say some of our family members, some of our loved ones are just going to perish. So, well, Moshe, go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you, sister. Let me first begin by saying this. What the elder said was definitely on point. But the scripture that I read in Ezekiel, you say it whether they want to hear it or not. See, when we're dealing with the mighty Yah, this isn't God. And the Most High chose the children of Israel not because there was great number, because there was few. Mm-hmm. Yah don't deal in big numbers. He's never dealt with big numbers. So everywhere, and only a remnant gonna make it. So when you come to the realization of understanding that, I'm a barber. I cut these young brothers' hair for free. I counsel these young men. I teach them some of my carpentry skills. Some of these young men borderline want to call me Father Day. I'm out here in the field. I'm out here in the grind. I'm out here in the streets. That's my program. I'm sacrificing me. Me. This is the question I ask, brothers, because I've heard brothers say this to me. What we need to do. The question I would ask, what are you doing to that brother that's right across the street from you? What are you doing for that brother that's right next door to you? What are you doing for that brother that's right at that corner store right now? You can walk up to him. You. That's the power of Yah. Yah don't deal with big numbers. You don't need no gang or no crew with Yah. He just want to see you move. You. And when you move, Yah said he'll send the increase. That don't got nothing to do with no group. He said, Moshe, that's what I want you to go tell Pharaoh. Let my people go. Moshe didn't show up with a gang. He didn't have an organization with him. It was him. But he trusted Yah enough that he said, let me just do what Yah told me to do and let me see what happened. See, Yah gets the glory when it's few in numbers. Uh-huh. I understand that. So in this community that I'm in, I'm up in these brothers' faces. Me. I would like for them to come to class, but for those that don't, I'm a whole class right on the street with them. Right there with them. And you're right. I'm always going to teach the word of Yah. That's all I know. I want to tell them what I think. What I think ain't nothing. But when I'm speaking the word, see, that's another thing about the word of Yah. When you speak the words of Yah, that's where your strength is. That's where your power is. And how do I know that? The Black Panther Party back in the 70s, they was a lunch program, a this, a that. What happened? They weren't speaking Yah. The Nation of Islam. Schools, stores, grocery stores. So? They're not speaking Yah. They get all of that. They're not speaking Yah. Once we start to feel like we don't need Yah anymore, these are results. You don't need to be with an organization to do the will of the Father. All he asks for you to move. When you say, when I say move, go. That sister that's right next door to any women that's watching, listening right now, it's a young lady right now that you know is struggling with homosexuality, struggling with being a single mother, struggling with learning how to be to not be promiscuous. She's struggling with all of this stuff. She's struggling to be a lady, a young lady. She don't even know how to conduct herself like a young lady. A lot of women listening right now know a woman like that. When let her tell you when it knocked on her door and said, can I talk to you for a minute? But you want to join a program?
I know that's right. That's right. Absolutely.
You
want to
join a group?
Mm-hmm.
See,
right.
Yah is looking at this. I don't need no group. He showed me that with Moshe. You go do it. You get off the couch and go in the corner in your neighborhood where you see all the brothers at right now. Because if you black and live in America, I guarantee you it's a corner right now. It's full of us. Go right now and go talk to them brothers. You don't need a group to do that. Just you and Yah. And a Ruach. See, when I hear brothers do that and say this to me, what we need to do, no. Are you going to do? I don't need you with me to go across the street and talk to these thugs I'm looking at right now when I get off work. I don't have to go to them. They'll call me. Oh, Shay, can I talk to you for a minute, man? What's up, brother? I'm struggling with so-and-so, man. I need help, brother, blah, 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 blah. I talk to these brothers every day. I'm giving them an overdose of the word of Yah, because Yah sends the increase. Yah gives the wisdom, instructions, and counsel. Yah does that. They don't have nothing to do with me. Nothing. I ain't saying nothing miracle out of my mouth. I'm doing the will of the Father. And once we understand that, I don't need, or nobody listening to this conference call right now, you don't need to join no group to go to that person right next door to you, your next door neighbor that you know is struggling. Go knock on their door tonight and say, I need to talk to you. Let me introduce you to somebody that can help you with all your problems. That's how you do that. And for those that's listening around the world today, you know I ain't lying. You know I ain't lying.
Nope. Each one got to reach one. That's why I agree with you on that one. Each one has to reach one. And it's just a matter of time management and being able to care enough to go talk to somebody that's not associated with your family, are not connected with your little group of people, and not connected with anything that you're doing. But once you reach them, they're still going to end up coming into your connector or going into somebody's connector, because there has to be some organization to the madness. And I think the problem that we have is that we have a whole lot of little individual crusades, and a lot of these crusades, even within our own community, that are preaching on the street corners is a lot of the problem, because you got a whole bunch of madness to the disorganization. And it has to be some structure to the madness, because we're ending up cleaning up our own mess from the people who just decide to take a Bible and go to the street corner. And that's a problem too. You know what I'm saying? All of it has to be done decent and in order. Because we clean up our own mess with some of these brothers that's going to the street corners preaching what they feel like the word of God is, and making us look bad as a nation. So it's a flip side to that coin, and I understand what you're saying when you say reach out to the community and go out and talk to the young girls. And matter of fact, that's one of the programs that we have just organized with the Nation of Yehuda, Yafah, because this is what we're planning on doing, is going to the communities and sitting down with the young mothers, the young teenage mothers, on our own dime. Nobody, we don't have no grant monies. We're not filling out no 501c3s. We're not doing none of that. We're going to do it on our own dime and go sit down and say, hey, we're here. You want to talk? Let's talk, whatever you want to talk about. And you're absolutely right. We got to reach them. Somebody's got to reach them. But even the people that are going out there to reach them, some of these people is caught up into some madness, though, Moshe. Some people are teaching crazy stuff on the street corner.
Well, see, that's the reason why, if you teach them, first of all, again, everybody that's saying Yah don't know them anyway. They don't know them. People watch your actions. And first of all, if you can talk to 50 brothers, but Yah may not only want, but just one of them. You don't know it, but Yah got his eyes on that one brother that he know his heart is fixed to serve and worship him. And when you serve and worshiping the mighty Yah, you are serving to the people. And Yah know who ready. Yah know who sit down and just talk, and he knows who's up doing the footwork. He knows it. I don't run my mouth. I know brothers out here that don't, and I know a whole bunch of brothers that do run their mouth, and they don't go nowhere. I know Knessers right now that's in the midst of all this shooting and killing in Inglewood in the city of Chicago, and I made a suggestion. Hey, man, why don't you hold class on the street one day? Oh, no, man, oh, no. See? Why? Why not? They don't know Yah. They've heard anything else. God is tattooed on their bodies. Crosses is tattooed on their whole backs. They heard that. But they don't know Yah. They're not going to tattoo Yah nowhere, because they know that's against the law.
Well,
we need to do is, let me read this quick and then take your caller. For those that have, that's why I read that scripture earlier, say it, rather they want to hear it or not, because that's what a messenger is. A reminder. Let me remind you of something. Hosea 4 and 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. Reject. See, Christian churches read that they are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but they stop there because they reject it. They don't want to hear it. Now he says, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that they have forgotten the Torah of thy Elohim, so I will forget thy children. This is what it's about. Period. They have forgotten the Torah. They don't know the instructions of Yah.
That's true.
Most brothers believe thou shalt not kill, but they don't know Yah is a killer. Yah not a murderer. But Yah is a killer, you a killer. If someone tried to hurt or harm you or your loved ones, you would kill them in a minute. But they don't understand.
Yes,
they don't know the punishment for murder. They don't know that. That's shedding of a man's innocent blood. These brothers out here are killing each other over, to me, a popsicle stick. I yield the mic, sister.
All right, and I want to agree with you. Area code 804, we're going to get right next to you. Just hold on one moment. And I agree with you because when it comes to the law, and I was that, you know, the other day we were reading the law and we were talking about uncovering a man's nakedness, and we got into the scriptures about what that actually means and how, you know, he's very specific about thou shalt not lay with thy uncle's wife, and thou shalt not lay with thy mother's sister, and thou shalt not lay with thy sister by thy mother or by thy father. And he begins to break down the moral law that is to govern us as a nation of people, the things that we are not supposed to engage in. And some of those laws are capital offenses, punishable by death, but the Christian church tells you don't have to keep it no more. So then I pose the question. If we don't have to keep it no more, then is it all right for you to lay down with your uncle's wife? Is it okay for you to lay down with your next of kin? Is it okay for you to do those things? And see, when you understand, like I said, when you get an understanding, that's all you need to get. Because when you understand that this is the land of our captivity, and the laws that we allow ourselves to be governed by is the laws that are given to us by the heathen nations that we have been scattered in. And when they pass a law and say, it's okay for two men to kiss and love on each other, it's okay for two women to same-sex marriage, it's okay. It's just all about what is my daughter said, it's called YOLO, you only live once. Do whatever you feel like doing. That's contradictory to the laws that he gave us at the base of Mount Sinai. It is not okay to do those things. Those things, homosexuality is punishable by death. There are several laws in there that is punishable by death. So, but Christianity will tell you we're no longer under the law, we're under grace. So then so all of these things are the reason why we're in the conditions that we're in today. And you're absolutely right. The people who preach it are held accountable for it. But again, there's a flip side to that coin. Their eyes have been covered. And the blindness in part has come unto Israel. Area code 804, go ahead, you're on the air.
Any other means necessary. So,
hello,
this is a war against the global population and the American population. And it's been engineered in the U.S. by the Rockefellers and their contractors. And the Rockefellers serve the city of London. Now, in the October 28th online edition of Nature Nanotechnology, which is a science journal published by Nature, the first direct images of carbon nanotubes entering cells were captured and presented in this paper. And it says, quote, for the first time, scientists have directly imaged carbon nanotubes entering and migrating within human cells. And the images are actually nanoparticles, carbon nanotubes,
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Moshe. We have someone, I'm sorry, we have someone on the line who is trying to bring in the whole Illuminati conspiracy, you know, because that's a big thing now. Everybody thinks that it's global, and it is. There are some things that are going on that are global, but that is not what this topic is about. We are talking about the African-American people who are, we know to be the tribe, the descendants of the 12 tribes of Yaakov. So we are not talking about a global conspiracy by the Rockefellers. We're not talking about a global conspiracy by the Rothschilds. We're not talking about those things because those things are an issue with the other nations, and we will be a part of those things, but we're talking about the condition of our people. So we thank you so much for your comment. Anyone else that has a question, comment, or concern, please feel free to push one, and we will get you right on the air. And these are the things that I'm talking about. When people get wind of certain things that they information that they put out there, they think they have the answer to the whole problem. And it's only because they don't know what's really going on in terms of the nation. So, you know, you have to excuse me. We thank you so much for all of your comments and questions and things that you put out there. But we're actually talking about the Hebrew Israelite condition, the black people of black America, and the curse that we're under and the things that our people are experiencing. Moshe, you have anything else you want to say?
I wanted to also say when you had touched on the homosexuality thing, what the Most High calls it, sodomy. When I went to pick up my daughter from school, I seen two young ladies, so-called African-American young ladies, and they were yelling at the young man. And one of them had said, "Me and your mother doing the best we can for you. We love you. We trying to raise you to be a man." And they were homosexuals.
Uh-huh.
These two women telling the young man, "We're trying to raise you to be a man." This is wicked. This is beyond mm-hmm. wicked. Mm-hmm. And I want people to listen to this real good. And I want them to listen to this real good. One of the greatest forms of child abuse is same-sex couples raising a child. That's child abuse. That's child abuse on a whole nother level. That's beyond physical. That's emotionally damaging to a child. But I know the world would never see it that way because they're not following the laws of Yah. They're not. But according to what thus said Yah, that's wicked. That is taking a child out of normal behavior from his infancy. He'll never appreciate what a man and woman is like. He'll never understand that. The teacher told my daughter that the teacher never seen me drop my daughters off with a woman. It's always me. Always me, because at this particular moment, I'm a single parent. So I'm always interacting with the teachers in school, just me and my daughters. And the teacher told my daughter one time, she said, it's okay for, you know, fathers to have, you know, it's okay if you have two daddies. And my daughter came home and told me that the teacher told her it's okay to have two daddies because she was just assuming that she's never seen
right.
me with a woman. So apparently maybe he has a lover,
mm-hmm.
a man. What sickness
mm-hmm.
is this?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the school our children go to. Well, we're at a state right now. Cry out for help to Yah and do the best you can do in the streets. Die trying to get the word out to those that seek it. A person that don't want to hear, don't waste your time. I've learned that now. I don't talk to brick walls anymore. A lot of people don't want to hear that. They don't care about no truth. I figured that out basically last year. That was my realization. People don't want to hear the truth. They don't. These are intelligent people that go. These people that go to these Sunday churches, they're doctors, lawyers, professors. They're not dumb. But they're at a state in their mind what sounds good to them. Because when you serve in the mighty Yah, there's instructions. And people don't want to follow instructions. They don't. Everybody want to do it their way. A so-called pastor told me a few weeks ago, he said, Moshe, you're killing the people, telling them to keep the law. And I said, I'm killing them, telling them to keep the law. Yeah, we under grace now. You old man, you be under this blood, brother. You got to be under this blood, and you telling them that they got to keep the law? And I shook my head because this was a pastor of a big church. Mm-hmm. Now, these people listening to him. Mm-hmm. But it always amazed me when they say we under grace, we don't have to keep the law. And I always poke fun and say, well, then, can I go have sex with your wife right now? And he gets mad. You think that's a real disrespectful question? Mm-hmm. Well, the law says thou shalt not commit adultery.
That's true.
I can't lay with your wife. What's the punishment? Who said it's a sin? You?
Right.
Or your God?
Right. That's true.
If I live my life on what I thought a man, if I live my life on what a man calls sin, I have the best time. I will party every night.
You sure will. That's the truth. You can do anything you want to do. You can do anything you want to do. Just so long
anything.
As you repent and anything you want, you can do it. That's true.
No one will suffer. No one. I mean, you can tell. I remember an elder told me this years ago. He said, if I thought that wasn't a punishment for breaking the law, hey, there's no way I'd be behind this pulpit teaching nothing. I'd be in the streets enjoying my life. Because I had a ball being a whoremonger.
But they doing it. They still doing it anyway. And that's the thing, is they're still doing it anyway. And that's why we, like Brother Donnie, I said, we have a responsibility to show to show people something different. And you do that by your life you live. You do that by the things that you do. You honor the law. But even with that, there's still going to be people that are going to be lost. It's still people that know better that still don't do better. Now, we're talking about people whose eyes have been closed and they don't know any better. You know, these are the people the Most High has to open up their eyes for them to be able to understand. But the people who know better and choose not to do it, it's going to be a lot of people lost. And you know what? One of the young ladies in my class said that. She said, you know, she said, Yaina, I used to think that God was this loving God and that he never did anything, you know, that would harm us and that all he wanted us to do was love each other and be there for each other. She said, but when I began to read I didn't even know he had laws that said thou shalt not lay with another man's wife or thou shalt not tattoo your body or thou shalt not do this or thou shalt not wear mixed fabrics or thou shalt not do this kind of stuff. She said some of these laws are punishable by death. She said, and when I heard him say that to Moshe to give to us as a people, it made me change my whole concept for the way I even thought about him. Because I never thought about him as being a God that would kill you or implement the capital punishment for us to be able to kill you if you did these things. She said, it just changed my whole concept. I said, and that is the deception that is being taught, that all you got to do is repent. You can just keep doing it over and over and over again and repent and everything going to be fine. No, sir. No, ma'am. It doesn't work that way. So I agree with you 100%, but I want your opinion on something you and Brother Adonai both, and just would you just bear with me. I want you to hear this because this is an interview that was done with Dr. Umar Johnson, and it's imperative that you all hear this because I just don't want it to be me. So I want you to tell me what you think about this interview, and here we go. Take a listen.
Hello, my brother. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show. How are you? How are you doing? All is well. All is blessed. No complaints here.
All right, man. That's good. All right. I'll be your host today. My name is Kibajo. Also, co-hosting with me is Elder Rakan. So, you know,
okay.
We hope to have a blessed show. And what I'm going to do now, Dr. Johnson, is I'm gonna give you the mic and allow you to just introduce yourself to the listeners worldwide and let them know who you are. Some of them are already familiar with you and your work, and some of them aren't. So you know, you can just take a minute and introduce yourself, and then we can get into the
show. Sure, no problem. My name is Dr. Umar Johnson. I'm a doctor of clinical psychology. I'm also a certified school psychologist, as well as a certified school principal, and I'm also a political scientist. I hold 6 degrees. Not that that's important. I only put that out there so people can understand that when I talk about the miseducation machine and the psychiatric machine, which are being used as wars against African children, they know that I come with the expertise and the training and the background and the experience to talk on those issues. I am a Garveyite, a Pan-Africanist. I'm former Minister of Education for Marcus Garvey's Universal Negro Improvement Association, which will turn 100 years this summer, from July 20th of 1914 to July 20th of 2014. I'm also a blood relative of the great abolitionist and freedom fighter, Frederick Douglass, who was a great-great-great-great-grand-uncle and cousin of mine. I am author of the best-selling book, Psychoacademic Holocaust, the Special Education and ADHD Wars Against Black Boys, which can be obtained on my website, drumarjohnson.com. I am also in the middle of a crusade to build a Pan-African school district for our children, the Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey, RBG International Leadership Academy. And at this time, we're trying to acquire the historic St. Paul's College in Lawrenceville, Virginia. It is a historically black college that shut down last year, and we're trying to purchase that college for a sum of $5 million, and I have until August the 21st to do that. And so I'm hoping that during the course of this show, I'll have an opportunity to give the listening audience the mailing address for which you can send check or money order donation to try to help us keep that historically black college in black hands, and also so that we can transform it into the school of the future that our children so desperately need. And the last thing I would say is that I'm the most requested speaker in the country at present and have been for the past 3.5 years. Although I'm not a bourgeois and you don't see me on television, no one gets requested to teach our people the truth more than Dr. Umar Johnson.
All right, thank you for that.
Hebrew brothers, I can work with my Nuwafian brothers. I can work with my Asar Aset brothers. I can work with Christians. I can work with Sunni Muslims. I can work with anybody as long as we share the same principles of trust, reciprocity, transparency, sincerity, and commitment to the well-being of our people. Regardless of ideology, we all need food. Regardless of ideology, we all need health care. Regardless of ideology, we all need jobs. Regardless of ideology, we all need clothing and home. Regardless of what we believe, we are all human beings, members of the same African family, and we should be able to put our ideological differences to the side long enough to get something done. And when you find someone who is not willing to put their ideological differences to the side, it's normally because they're not interested in doing the work that operational unity will foster.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, man. Yes, I mean, you know, linking into what you're saying, right? What I hear, kind of like bringing me into the line of questions I wanted to, you know, which I wanted to ask. Because yes, you are right. Is that there is lack of self-hate amongst us. You know, like you said, there is disinterest. You know, a lot of people with all talk and no action. But you know, there's something here that I wanted to put to you and get your take on it. All right. So
yes,
let's go back to unity then, right? At one point in time in our history, all right, as black people or black people enslaved, you know, our foreparents going back, couple centuries back maybe. At one point in time, all of them had a biblical foundation and belief, a biblical understanding, majority if not all, right? Now we know according to history that the people in the Bible are black people or people of color. Why is it that you think that when our people start looking for black consciousness, they go outside of the Bible, when the Bible is, you know, is dominantly the characters of the Bible are black? What, you know, talking about unity at the beginning, because it was all on that unity. We all were Bible people who believed in the Bible at one point. And like I said, when we start looking for a black consciousness, you go outside of the Bible, when the Bible is all about black consciousness and black history, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. One, we do have to keep in mind that there was a time before the Bible, which is to say that there was spirituality and nonviolent culture before the Bible. And so I think that for a lot of our people, not disrespecting those who actually ascribe to a biblical approach to spirituality, many of our people are looking for the origin of African spiritual heritage, which will take them beyond the Bible, beyond the Quran, beyond almost any of the manuscripts that we use. I mean, even if we look at biblical history, you know as well as I know that the Bible was handed down through word of mouth for almost 200 years before it was ever committed to writing. And even after it was committed to writing, just like with the Quran, there were additions as well as omissions. So in terms of authenticity, some people would take issue with it because it has been used historically, you know, as a weapon of warfare against people. Now, you have to separate the Bible as a spiritual document from the Bible as a political document. And I can respect anyone who uses the Bible as a spiritual document. I'm a descendant of pastors. I have an uncle who's a pastor. My family is very into the church. And my issue with the church, you know, is that they're teaching the Bible. It's how use those lessons and how those lessons can be used to brainwashing African people into not organizing with people who are not Christian, into making them believe that they have to love their oppressors, into making them, you know, believe that God is going to solve their problems for them, even if they don't do anything on their own. Now, I know that this is not fundamental to the message that was taught by Yeshua the Christ. But I think in honesty, when we discuss any religion, although we can free it from the negative uses for which it was employed, we have to also be sensitive to the fact that a lot of people take issue with organized religion, because organized religion has never been a blessing to African people. If we look purely at the historic, we would probably have to conclude that the Bible as well as have caused more problems for us politically than they have saved us from. Now, of course, again, you separate that from the use of the religion and what it actually teaches. So if you go by what the Bible actually teaches, how could it have ever been used as a political document or as a political weapon? Well, that's something that people who belong to the religions have to clean up. So, for example,
so I'm going to fast forward it.
Well, brother, maybe we shouldn't be talking about the Bible, but you're not going to. You accepting anybody's version of reality, nor in African cultural historical perspective, the Bible is a plagiarized book because nothing in it is original. It simply borrowed from the spiritual cosmology that predated it. But if you look at the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments, those were borrowed, okay, from more than 142 positive confessions that come out of the Nile Valley spiritual code. So it's not to negate anything in the Bible, but to understand that the Bible is nothing more than a composite of pieces, okay, of spiritual doctrines that predated it. As far as what the religion was called, it's important to understand that really calling spiritual consciousness from an African context, religion is inappropriate because technically we had no religion. We we had spiritual culture. So when we look at the spiritual science of Kemet, okay, of Asar and Aset and Asaru, that was a part of the culture of the people. It was not separate from their worldview. It was not separate from their family structure. It was not separate from the economic order. It was culture. So there was never a separate religion. So when you're born into the culture. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to take a shahada. It is just a part of who the people were. And now keep in mind now, when you look at the chronology of the Bible or Jesus Christ, you're looking at 2014 years ago. Okay, that is really very late in human history. So my issue would be, why would you need something so new when you already had so much rich cultural heritage that predated that? In terms of the text, if you're looking at, you know, the textbook of coming forth by day and by night, it teaches up for childhood theft. And, I mean, of course, we know that many of the libraries in Navajo culture were burned, but a lot of those texts did survive. And if you want to collect all of the surviving texts upon which ancient African spirituality was based, you would end up with a collection of literature that is much more larger and much more vast than the Bible itself. I mean, you have the four Gospels, and then, of course, you got the Old Testament, but that is very small compared to the text available from which it was borrowed. So the issue is not to say that the information in the Bible is incorrect. Much of it is correct. There's also a lot of incorrections, too. So, for example, in the Old Testament, in some certain translations of the Bible, it talks of the Jews having built the pyramids. Well, that's impossible because the pyramids were built, okay, before there was Jews on the planet. You know, so it's important that we understand that also spiritually the book may have some very good, useful teachings in it. I have Bibles at home. I read the Bible from time to time, okay, because some of the fables in the Bible really do hit at some spiritual truths. I even use it in psychotherapy because it's very effective. But again, my premise would be, as many other Africans would ask, why should you read the Bible if you have the sources from which the Bible came, okay, whether we're looking at spirituality in Ethiopia, whether we're looking at spirituality in the Sudan, whether we're looking at it in the Dogon, whether we look at it in South Africa, a very rich spiritual tradition, research which shows is almost as old, if not older, than the spiritual tradition of Nile culture. Me, myself, I studied the system of Ifa coming out of the Yoruba of West Africa, but I guess, let me say it this way. Your relationship with the Most High God is not on you accepting anybody's version of reality, nor is it predicated upon you believing in any type of fairy tales or stories or historical chronologies whatsoever. So, for example, if I'm going to build a relationship with the Most High God, first of all, I don't have to be taught morality. Morality is put in your soul when you come into this world. An aspect of God is within you. That's the God within.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Did you hear what he just said? He said that basically the Bible is plagiarized, that we got the stories from Egypt because he named Ptah Hotep. He named, which is Osiris. They're talking about Egyptian culture, and he's necessarily saying that the stories that we received were plagiarized and basically stolen, re-put into the Bible so that it could be used for fairy tales. They've been called fairy tales, they've been called stories, and all these things that were going on. So this is what I'm trying to say. We have these people out here that are sounding good with the degrees and all of the things necessary that are dealing with the struggles of a black people as a whole. That's why it's necessary for us to come together and begin to talk to our children about who they are, because they're being lured into Egyptology. They're being lured into serving other gods. And you're right. If Jesus don't do it, then they're going to look towards somebody else or another deity that has a power. We have got to be careful with the people that we introduce our children to, which we can't stop that. But like you said, Moshe, we got to be out there in the streets with them.
I can't wait till you let me talk.
Hold on. I got somebody want to. I'm gonna bring this brother on. Because this one, they said Amos 3 and 3, can two walk together except they agree? This is on the chat line. It says, where is it in the scripture that says the Israelites can be successful in serving Yah by working with idolaters? So let me get this personal. Eric Cole 903, go ahead. You on the air. Eric Cole 903, go ahead. You on the air. Hello. Hello, hello. Moshe, go ahead. I'm gonna leave their mic open when they get ready to talk, because I'm going to tell you something that happened. And I'm going to go back to the clip, because this got ugly. I mean, it got really, really ugly, because the brother from the Hebrew Israelite group was trying to get him to prove some of the sources that he had, and it got to the point where it got real ugly. But, you know, when I listened to it, I had to understand that these people are serving other deities, and they're masking this stuff under the struggles of our black people. We got to do something. We all got to eat, and we all have to have a roof over our head, and we all got to have a job, and everybody's struggling in the same way. And it's a culture. You're just born with morality in you. Why do you need to have a book basically to tell you what's moral and what's not? It's already in you to know what's moral and what's not. This is the deception that's out there. And basically what he's saying in layman's terms is, we no longer under the law. That's basically another way to put it. It's just another trumped up way to say, we no longer under the law. You can do whatever you feel like, and all you got to do is follow what's in your heart. So go ahead, Moshe, you got the mic.
Oh, man. Oh, man, let me see. This is where I want to read for all those that's listening. I'm going to read two verses, then I want to address something from what he said. The first one I want to read is in Proverbs, the 21st chapter, in the 30th verse, 21 and 30, and it reads, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yah. Now, he didn't see. First of all, I detected this brother's ruach. He wanted to make sure everybody knew his heathen degrees, because he was educated by the heathen. That don't impress me at all. In fact, it lets me further know how unlearned you are. Number two, he also said, the pyramids, he mentioned the pyramids, and he said, they say Jews built those, but the pyramids was here before the Jews existed. Let me read this scripture to you. In the book of Isaiah, the 19th chapter, and we're going to start at verse 19. This is how ignorant I know this brother is, but he's got a heathen education. In the day shall there be an altar built to Yah, in the midst of the land of Egypt, a pillar at the border thereof to Yah. And this shall be for a sign and a witness unto Yah of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto Yah because of the oppressors. And he shall send them a savior and a great one. And he shall deliver them. Now, why, Moshe, why did you read that? Well, first of all, the mighty Yah, those pillars were, the scriptures call them pillars, but we know them today as pyramids because they was built in the center of the world. That was a sign for Yah. That's why man today cannot figure out how those things was built. That knowledge is off the earth because Yah did it. He took it away, and yes, the children of Israel built those things. But when you're educated by the heathen, and he made sure he told the world that, he's going to speak what he was taught. And the more you read different so-called Hamite information, the more you're going to turn from what thus said Yah. See, Yah is simple. You don't have to read 1,000 books to understand him. You don't. And for this brother to say, I basically can read the Bible every now and again, I don't even entertain that. He's let the world know, and I'm familiar with that brother too, he doesn't read the Bible. It's just a fairy tale to him. Yep, well, when a brother speaks like that, a fool says in his heart there is no Elohim. A fool says in his heart, there is this stuff don't exist, and this is your history. This is your history. This is your history written in a book. But the heathen told you, no, never mind that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you think he's the only one in the world doing that? And he's right. I paid this close attention too. He kept mentioning Islam. Islam serves another god. This has nothing to do with Yah.
Nope.
Absolutely nothing to do with Yah. That was almost funny that he kept mentioning that. Who reads the Quran like that?
I'm glad that you are here, that and Brother Adonia is here, because, you know, we promoted him because we felt like, you know, he's doing something positive for the community. He was building schools for our children. You know, he's out there on the circuit. He made it known that he was the most sought-after motivational speaker in the country, and the this and the that and the other. But you got to understand, you got to listen to what he said. He said that he served Ptah, and it's spelled P as in Paul, T as in Thomas, Apple, H as in Harry, and that is an Egyptian deity. That is an Egyptian deity. And he also mentioned another deity from Africa that he is affiliated with, and we have to be, that's why it is imperative that we get out there. That's why it is imperative that we flood the streets with Yah, flood the streets with our teaching, because these people are being sought after. Our children are listening to this stuff, and we have to counteract what they're saying. Now, I'm telling you, it got ugly. Give me about 5 more minutes, because I want you to hear just how the brother came at it and what happened at the end. And it's 5 more minutes. Just give me 5 minutes. Hold on. Here we go. One moment, please. I'm going to be right with you just a second. I'm going to play it real quick. Here we go.
Jesus said the temple of God is within. That's because I even have one in my own possession. It does say that you use the pyramid. Now,
okay.
there's more than 325 different versions of the Bible. His versions say it, and I own one. I own one of them.
Okay. This is what we're going to do then, brother. Instead of us talking
about the Bible, let's move on to something that's more productive for our people than religion.
Brother, I'm going to ask you again. Okay, to be respectful. All right? I'm going to ask.
Being respectful, but when you make a statement, you're going to correct something that I said, which you're not correcting because what I said was not incorrect.
Brother, okay.
All you can give is your opinion, but you can't correct
me. Brother, if you want to be argumentative.
We're not going to be argumentative.
Let me continue the interview
if that's what we need to do.
If it comes to that, brother, we ain't going to talk about religion all night.
I'm done with religion. Can we talk about things that are more progressive? I don't want to have a conversation about the Bible. That's not where we are.
Okay. Let me finish my statement here. If you make a statement and we ask you to prove it, then just prove it so that the audience can actually get the information and run with it outside of any of us, our ideology. Now, what I'm asking you is, if there is a Bible that says that the Jews built pyramids, I just need you to put it out there to what that Bible is so that we can all come together and research it and corroborate your information that's written. So the only thing I'm asking you before I go on is, what is the Bible that says that the Jews built the pyramids? What is
okay, I have it. I have it in my library, and I would need to find that.
So you don't
That's
have
not
that.
A problem. It's, that can be done. I don't have it in my hand. It's in my library.
Okay.
My books on the Bible are not on my list when it comes to gathering my books. So that is not in my fingertips, but it's in my library here.
This is what I'm asking. It's also been quoted
in numerous books that deal with biblical history and inconsistencies. So you don't necessarily need my Bible. This has been discussed by Dr. Ben as well as other scholars in terms of the accusation. I'm just asking you.
At this point, I'm going to answer that. At this point, there is no proof on this conversation that you can bring forth right now to say that in the Bible the Jews built the pyramid. There's nothing you can't bring right now. You can bring right
yes,
now.
Yes,
right?
It's in my library. Yes, I can. But
okay,
listen, I want to make sure I'm clear, brother. I'm not wasting time trying to prove anything for or against the Bible. I'm in the process of trying to build a school for our kids. I could give a damn what you believe or don't believe about the Bible. That is not
okay.
a priority for Dr. Umar Johnson.
Okay.
I will
okay,
not
that's fine.
Be wasting my time on that, brother. I am so
thank
far
you,
beyond
brother.
That. That was a 10th grade conversation. That is not a
thank
conversation I'm having at this point in my life.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
I'm
okay,
not
so,
debate religion
so,
at 40 years old.
Okay.
That is played out. That's something we did in high school. I'm not doing
okay,
that.
Okay.
At this stage.
All right.
You should
all right,
have been
all right,
graduated
all right,
from that.
Sir,
you will
sir,
not
sir,
bring
I got
black
you.
People together
sir,
under religion.
Mr. Johnson,
you should know that.
Mr. Johnson, I got that. Now let's go. The next point. The next point outside that. I need you to preface for the brothers and sisters what we were following in Africa. And what is that religion or what is that ideology?
I just answered that in my last conversation. Religion did not have a name because it was not religion. It was culture. The worship of one of the first deities on earth was the worship of Ptah, P-T-A-H, and now Bali culture. Predates the Bible by millions of years.
Okay.
We didn't have formal religions that we got. That is an invention. That is an extinction of invaders.
Okay, brother. I'm just trying to.
Are you aware
point,
of the Nicene Council, brother? Are you aware,
sir,
of
sir,
the
sir,
Council?
Sir.
And
sir,
in 325 AD, when Emperor
sir,
Constantine
sir,
came
Mr.
into
Johnson,
Nile Valley and kidnapped,
Mr. Johnson,
kidnapped
Mr. Johnson,
the African priests and priestesses
Mr. Johnson, Mr. Johnson,
and fabricated the Bible from
hey,
the
hey,
original
sir,
African
hey,
spiritual beings.
Hey, sir. That's fine. What I'm going to ask you now, you answered.
I got
you
a quick question
that,
for you. I got a quick question.
Sir.
No.
I
need
have
to ask you this.
I need to ask you to determine
whether or not we need
sir.
To go on.
No. Mr.
No.
Johnson,
I'm
don't
ask
me
you
anything
until
are
we
no.
going to
you...
be discussing anything other than your Bible?
Yes.
Can we get to that? I'm not
yes.
interested in religious conversations, brother. I'm really
sir,
not.
Sir. I'm going to say something. Is that good?
The Bible is 2,000 years old.
Sir.
Or 2 million years
hey,
old.
Johnson,
can we talk hey, about something
get
other
out
than
here.
The
get
Bible?
Get him out of here.
All right, you guys, that's how it ended, and that's what he said. He said, did you hear what he said? I want to make sure that everybody got it real clear what he said. He said he is not discussing religion. He is not discussing the Bible. He told you that the first any sort of deity that we dealt with was a cultural thing and that they worship Ptah. That is an Egyptian deity. So I just want to make that very clear that as far as the nation of Yehuda is concerned, we will not be sponsoring anything that Dr. Umar Johnson is doing. We are not going to send our children into any schools that promote Ptah. We are not going to send our children into any schools that are dealing with idolatry and other deities. That is the reason why we're in this country in the first place, and we will not associate ourselves or promote anything of that nature. Any of you have a question, a comment, or anything, please feel free.
Hey, I just, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello? Yes, I wanted to mention, I had just recently did a lesson on that, too, that Yah doesn't deal with religion anyway. The children of Israel have never belonged to religion. The prophets don't know nothing about no religion. So in that aspect, he's right. We never dealt with religion. This whole thing was based on being obedient to what thus said Yah. It had nothing to do with no denomination, no faith, no none of that. Now, he's right about that, and I've said that. And even that aggravated some people that I said that we're not involved. I'm not involved in a religion. I don't belong in no religion. I don't prescribe to no denomination. So I agree with that. But his whole concept of basically the Bible is a coloring book, that's how it sounds to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's very dangerous to tell our people. But he's mentioned, he made it clear he has a heathen education, and he wanted us to know that. So his whole and I'm familiar with him.
I'm ashamed. I really am ashamed because sometimes that he shouldn't, in any faith or religion, most of these religions on the face of the earth that sit down with a halfway knowledgeable child of Yah, they're going to get embarrassed all the time because we fully understand that this book is a black history book. These are our instructions, period. And when you speak against that, it's going to be an easy, easy, easy day at the office for us. And that's happened. And it happened to me with a Muslim. The frustration starts. Then it starts, I don't want to talk about it no more. Then they want to out-talk you and get loud. I'm ashamed of Umar Johnson. I've heard that brother on numerous shows. But I knew then he was totally unlearned in what thus said Yah. I knew it. And I'm glad you let me hear that, because now I further know he has absolutely no idea what's in the book that we call the Bible today. He has no idea. And I'm glad you let me hear that, sister. I yield.
Yes. Hallelujah. That's where, we got to come in. Like Brother Donnie, I said, we have to start our own schools. If we want to protect and manage the information that our children receive, we're going to have to put forth some efforts to start our own school. Because as much as we try to join other groups, whether it's the Black Panther Party, whether it's the Muslim Party, whether it's is Egyptology servant, Amenhotep, and all of those things, they are still going to bring their gods with them. It's no different than what it was with Solomon when he married all of those wives. Those women brought their gods with them, and he ended worshiping those gods and got in trouble with the Most High for doing so. And it hasn't changed today. It's still the same situation today. It's not anything any different. And you know what I'm saying? What my thing is, if you're worshiping Egyptology, that's fine. If you're from Egypt and that's who you are, if you're from the land of Ham or from the seed of Ham, that's fine. We are not from the seed of Ham. We are from Shem. So if you're doing that, then be up front and let everybody know up front that that's what you believe. Don't mask it under the struggle of our black people, because then you're being deceitful and you're opening up something to draw our children in, because they're black, into an arena where you can teach them about your false gods. And we're just not having that because we're on our way up out of here. And you know, if you're in the African, Pan-African movement, the Egyptology movement, whatever you want to say, that is fallen angel deity, and we do not worship under any circumstances any of them. Because I pulled up a website here that has all of the deities of Egyptology involved in the website, and it would anger you to see that one of the gods that is at the bottom of this thing, they have it under Yah, and it's a man with a bird face with a sun disc over it. And they underneath it, it has Yah, and Yah has nothing to do with it. He's not an Egyptian god. He's never been. He is the almighty stand-alone creatorial Elohim. There's no one. He is not in a pantheon of any Egyptian gods, any Mesopotamian gods of any kind. He is not a part of the Anunnaki. He is not a part of any of that. So, you know, this is where the knowledge comes in at, Brother Adonia and Brother Moshe. We've got to start educating our people and opening up the schools. And that's why the Nation of Yehuda has the School of Knowledge that's open. It's free. You can come in. We study everything about lineage. We study about deities so that people know what to look for when they run up against people like this, because it's really deceptive teaching is what it is.
Let me ask you a question, sister. Was that interview you just ran on YouTube or Blog Talk?
It was on Blog Talk, and it was with GOCC, and they had brought him on as a guest on their show. And, I mean, it went a lot longer. I skipped over a whole lot of it because I didn't want to play the whole interview. But basically, you got to the gist of where he flew off the handle at him. And Brother Ricard was telling him, he said, these people are worshiping deities. And they're hiding it under the struggle of our black people. and they're recruiting our people into this stuff because they're talking about the struggles. It's no different than church. When you go to church, the reason why church is so successful is because they deal with the problem. Oh, I know he's going to fix it one day. After a while, it's going to be all right. All you got to do is trust him. One day, my journey was rough too. I know what you feel, but God's going to make a way. And people get caught up in the emotion of it all. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But they don't, and before it's all over with, you've had an emotional fix, but the problem is still the same.
And they be talking in tongues.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. Oh, you got to say that too, no doubt about that. And when you really look at the whole issue of it all, when you go home, the problem is still the same. But when you understand who you're dealing with and what you're dealing with, it will change your whole concept. And we're not saying that Yah is not to be worshipped. We're not saying that praise and worship is not necessary, but you've got to understand who and what you're worshiping. And as long as they prey on your emotions, they're going to rape your pockets at the same time. And Yah's not deceitful like that. It's a Ponzi scheme. And, you know, you got to get to the point where you realize that, you know, we're not here to, we haven't asked you for anything. We're not asking for any money. We're not promoting anything. We're just letting you know what we're doing and giving you an opportunity to get some knowledge if you would like. You can chew it up, spit it out, or whatever, but it's free. We don't charge. We don't take up offerings. We just put it out there for you to be able to choose and to research for yourself. And like you said, you're talking about the land of Ham. We're not from Ham. And when you understand that Ham's descendants were of the dark people, and that was the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Libyans, Ethiopians. The Ethiopians, the Egyptians, the Libyans, and the Canaanites, all those people were dark people. They were black. And that, when you talk about Mizraim, which is one of Ham's sons, that's Egypt. And that's why, you know, when you start talking about the gods and the pantheons of Egypt, then you start talking about the fallen angels and the kingdoms that they set up. So we have to know what we're talking about when we start listening to what these people are saying. Because it's angel theology. That's all it is. And it's just dressed up as glorified angel theology. You know, this was around thousands of years before the Bible. And this was around, this is what we worked with. We didn't.
You're right, sir.
You know, we didn't do that. We didn't.
I'm ashamed. I'm really ashamed I heard that, but I never would have thought. I always felt like he didn't know what thus said Yah, but this man said it out of his mouth. He's not interested at all in reading no Bible.
No.
But he's building a school for our children.
Yes.
Now how can house be built if Yah don't do it?
You don't, ain't no need to fool him with it. It ain't, don't fool with it. And that's what Brother Rakah said to his people. Don't send one nickel. You know, don't engage in one. We not worship. Look, let me say something. The reason why, and please listen to me, you all that are out there under the sound of my voice. The reason why we're in the condition that we're in right now is because we worshiped other deities. The whole Old Testament is about how Yah told us not to do it. And we did it anyway. And I'd be doggone if we're going to come into the knowledge of who we are and then send our children into an educational system to be taught how to worship another deity. That is not what we're going to do. I know we're not. I don't know about anybody else, but we're not going to do that. So.
Oh, my goodness. This is a revelation for me, I must say. It threw me all the way off track. Because I'd have never thought that brother would admit that. And he wants to open a school and influence our children.
Yeah.
And basically let them know that the Bible is a coloring book.
Yes, it is. A book of fairy tales and fables. That's what he said. Fairy tales and fables. And that it was plagiarized, that we got the stories from Egypt, basically is what he's saying. And that we changed, that the stories have been put into the book, and we got them from Egypt, and that the real God is the cultural identity of Ptah. That's what he said. And Ptah is an Egyptian deity that was worshipped by the Egyptian people. And we do not worship, we only worship Yah. That's why we only worship him. So we have got to come to the point where we realize And see, that's why you said people perish for a lack of knowledge, because you don't understand. You have to know the key words to listen. Because, see, I listen very carefully to what come out of people's mouths. I listen and I study. And the Most High set me down and taught me for years before I even came out about all of this stuff. So when he started talking about and naming gods, I said, aha, okay, that's what he's into. But see, he met, like you said, at the beginning, he gave his credential. He let everybody know how many degrees he had. He let everybody know he's the most sought-after speaker in the country. He let everybody know he was building a school for our black people and our black struggle. And he said, I can join with anybody, Muslims, Christians, Hebrews, as long as you deal with the issue and don't talk about religion, I can deal with that. Well, guess what? We know the issue is we already know why we're in this situation. We're under the curse.
That's right. We got that down.
We already figured that out. We're under the curse for what we did.
That's right.
And nothing's going to fix it. The only thing we can do, like Brother Donnie, I said, is gather ourselves as a nation and start talking to our people so we can get ready to get up out of here when the time comes. And so, you know, they mask themselves behind the struggle. And it sounds good. It sounds so good. But you've got to start listening and paying attention.
Was he ever on your show, Sister Yaina?
He would never answer any of my calls. I've reached out to him on several occasions. He would never answer any of our calls. But guess what? I've come to the conclusion we don't need Dr. Umar Johnson, because the same way he can open up a school, we can open up a school. We just need to come together. And like you said, just a few, if we need to necessarily, open up a school and bring our children into that school so that we can start teaching. Because I was telling somebody today, and here in Cincinnati, the Jews here, they have a special school specifically for their children. Now, all
That's
the
right.
other schools are in the city is open enrollment. You can go anywhere, but you can't infiltrate that school. It is specifically for their children and their children only. So we should be able to do the same thing, and if other kids want to come in, we should be able to teach them truth. But that is specifically for their children and their children only. And we need to start coming together and teaching our children. We've come to the conclusion that we just can't join with anybody and everybody because they bring their gods with them when they come.
That's right. There you go. Yes, right. Praise the mighty God. They come with a package deal. They come with their God. And
yes,
the mighty God wants us
yes,
to separate
do.
Ourselves from that. And I sincerely apologize, because I'm totally in a baffle right now that I heard that brother say that. I'm totally shocked. Totally. And he was on a show mm-hmm. here in Chicago. He do get invited quite
mm-hmm.
often. He does. He's not lying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He speaks
mm-hmm.
a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess when you're against Yah, the doors are open to you all over the world.
All the time. They won't even acknowledge us. We can't get not one news reporter to come and do an interview, not one interview. I want to say something real quick to those that are in the chat line. You have about 90 seconds to dial in so that you don't get cut off. It's 5:30. We'll probably go into a few more minutes of overtime. But please, if you want to be a part of the program, please dial in right now. If you have a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push 1. We would love to have you on the show. We want to hear what you have to say. We're interested in what you're talking about, so please dial back in so we can do what we need to do. And I just want to say to everyone who has been a part of this show, we thank you very much for all that you have done. And we've got to start paying attention to the things that are going on around us, because if not, we're going to be tricked into being a part of a whole lot of things that is not of Yah. And Yah does not want us to join, especially when we know that they're worshiping other deities and that's what they're going to promote when they teach. That's no different than going to Catholic school. It's the same thing. And like they require you to bow down to statues and do the cross across your chest and up and down and all that, it's the same thing. It's not anything different. So we need our own Hebrew school. We need to promote our own things. And we need to be able to say to our children, we're going to teach you the right way, because we usually have to deprogram them, reteach them when they come out of those schools in the first place. Brother Donnie, you have anything you want to say?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Am I being heard?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, I was one that promotes that you listen to Umar Johnson. I didn't make mention that you had to take on his ideology. You understand? We already know that he's pan-African. But he was saying some things that we might want to incorporate in building our schools. You understand what I'm saying?
Some of these
things that he's talking about has some illiteracy. I'm not talking about being a part of his school. I'm talking about our schools. You understand? A while back I had mentioned that they had closed down 50 schools in Chicago, and we didn't take advantage of that by getting a non-profit organization and getting a couple of those schools so that we can put our folks in there and teach our understanding. You understand? From the ground up, from the womb to the tomb. You understand? So, you understand, we need to be doing those type of things and stop concerning ourselves with anybody else's stuff. You understand? They're not a part of Israel. But some of those things need to be taken a look at. You understand what I'm saying? And see if we can incorporate some of those things that he's talking about, you understand, has some illiteracy. You understand what I'm saying? And he didn't get that by himself because, remember now, you understand, we've been here 400-some-odd years. We put together everything in this place right here. You understand? We danced on all of these programs, these industries, everything. You understand? So he's not getting that stuff just from out of them white folks. You understand? He's getting that stuff from what we put in place. You understand? And they took advantage of all the things that we put in place. You understand? So I'm just saying, you understand, I'm not no pan-African. I'm a Hebrew Israelite, you understand? But I can listen, and I can put together some stuff, you understand? You know, right now, today, and here's one thing that I want to say, you understand? One other thing I want to say is that I'm not for running up on them brothers and trying to tell them anything unless I can show them that the Almighty is with us. And the only way that we can show them is that action speaks louder than words. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. I'm with you 100%. Again, we are coming down to the last of our show. I think we lost our brother, but we're going to see if we can get him back on. It's 5:30. I don't think we can. If anyone else has a last question, comment, or concern, I want you to please push 1. We would love to have you on the show. Brother Adonia, do you have any lasting remarks that you would like to make concerning any issue that we've dealt with today at all whatsoever?
I just want to let everybody know that I love each and every one of my folks, you understand, our peoples, you understand what I'm saying, and we need to get up off the sofa and start trying to do something to help build this nation. Now, it has been mentioned, as it's always mentioned, every week, is that it's going to be a remnant. We need to be part of that remnant. You understand? I mean, we're supposed to be die trying to build a nation. That's what we're supposed to do. Hallelujah.
That's
praise
right.
the might. Mighty.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, praise the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. We agree 100%. That is why we're nation building. That's why we have the nation, the United Nation of Israel, with the United Nation of Israel, the Nation of Yehuda. We have all kind of people together building a nation so that we can have our own information and be able to get our own information out to our own people. And again, you know, like I said, we thank Brother Shemaiah Moshe Ben Israel from Chicago, Illinois, for joining us today and putting some information out there for us today, because we have to roll up our sleeves and do the work. And that's what we're planning on doing. We do have a board meeting today at 6:30. It will only last for a few minutes, and then we will be free, so you all can please give us a call, those that are a part of the Nation of Yehuda. If you would like to join the movement of Nation of Yehuda, we would love to have you. Please email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com, and please, we will get back to you so we can incorporate your ideas. We are free-thinking people. We believe in what we're doing, and we're making serious progress and headway, and we're really excited about what the Most High is going to do. Okay, Brother Adoni, I have a question for you.
Okay.
You there?
Okay.
What time is it?
It's nation building time, Yaina. I want to say one more thing, though. I want to invite that brother back on at any time that he feels like he wants to say something. I appreciate him coming back on, and we'll discuss it. We'll, let's and remind him that we have this think tank. You understand, and bring his ideas and his perception and to the table, and let's talk about it. Let's get something going on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. We're having a think tank in Atlanta, October 29th, 30th, 31st, 1st of November, 2nd of November. We will be in Atlanta, Georgia. We are going to go to that city and bring our ideas, and we're going to start there and hopefully work our way around. And like he said, it's nation-building time. And on that note, we have enjoyed you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place with the Yehuda Project. Shalom, shalom, everybody.
right, all right, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. And it's just like Steve, he said, when you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer, because superstition ain't the way. Solomon had to learn it. The 12 tribes of Israel had to learn it. The African-American slaves that came over on the slave ship had to learn it. And we, the descendants of those children, and we learning it right now. There is only one God that we serve, and that's Yahweh Elohim Eloheinu of the Hebrew Israelite people. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. See you later. Bye-bye.